Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah. And we're back with our chakra series and pretty sure we're up to the Anahata chakra, the heart chakra.
I believe so.
How is your heart today? Always
on
a
my
good
heart.
Question. Yeah, how is your heart today?
Like, I thought you were just asking rhetorically and you had more to go on with.
I was. How is your heart? Right. Well, how is your heart today? It's like, it's an interesting way of greeting, isn't it? But there is a way of greeting in some cultures where they greet with, how is your heart today? And it's like, gets you to go inward to sort of delve into how you actually feel as opposed to an automatic, you know, we do this
how
automatic
response.
How are you? Response.
I'm fine.
Fine. Like, so that weather elsewhere is fine.
Yes. Well, it is interesting because it does make you sort of stop and go, actually, you know, it's multifaceted, isn't it?
It is.
And this is the interest. This is a little segue, but it's interesting. So I was listening to a podcast on designing characters in stories, and they said the thing that when character and they're talking about realistic emotions, like how does a character in a story have relatable emotions and that feel real? And they said, well, one of the big mistakes is that we never just feel one thing at any one time, except perhaps the most extreme of moments. So we're often this ball of like happy about one thing, sad about another, apprehensive about something else, excited about that. Except, you know, it's like that's often always going on altogether, and we just kind of get so used to never looking at it, I suppose.
That's so true.
We take it for granted, and then we don't really always pay attention until something has gone on for a while and suddenly rears up.
And it's interesting because I had a recent chat with a friend, and we chat every month and we get into some really deep conversations. And the last conversation we had was about life being multifaceted and that multifaceted aspect. How do we recognize that in our everyday life? So it's pretty relevant to this in being able to almost, you know, stand back and be the witness to, you know, how is my heart feeling? And delving into, there's so many aspects, you know, are you feeling light? Is your heart light today? Is it heavy or somewhere in between? Is it open? Is it closed or somewhere in between? You know, there's so many ways we can look at the heart. You know, are you feeling strong-hearted? Are you feeling clear-hearted? There's so many ways. The heart is a very complex part of us that has a relationship with every other part.
And everything that you're doing in your life.
Yes, you know? Yeah.
Right. So it's invested in your relationships and in your vocation and in your, you know, sort of hobbies and your space and where you live and where you're going later. It's like it's sort of that's the part of you that kind of feels into spaces and you're having to go to an event or to a show or to a meeting or, you know, part of you is going along before your physical body gets up and gets in the car, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like that's a natural and necessary way to exist. We can't just live 100% in the present 100% of the time or we'd never move, you know. It's like in order, it's almost sort of like, you know, if you're trying to initiate movement from a yogic perspective in a physical sense, you start with the core and you move from your core. You don't just sort of stick your arm out. You start from the spine, shoulder, elbow, you know, out you go. And in the same sort of energetic sense, if we're moving somewhere, a part of our energetic body moves before our physical body. And that's an important part of sort of getting an energetic feel, I think. I think Carolyn Mace talks about this of, if you're going to say and to use the conference example because she was presenting at one, part of you esoterically has got there before you have.
Yes, and already felt it out.
Yes, and knows what it's walking into. And so if you can be in touch with that part of yourself, you'll have a better sense of where to sit when you enter the room and, that kind of thing.
I think that is about listening to your heart more. That is coming from that heart connection. And being in tune.
Yeah.
Because the heart is such a, it's like central. When you look at where it sits between the main seven, and there's more than seven chakras, but it sits in the middle. It's like the balancer of those lower three and then the heart and then the upper three. It's like the gatekeeper almost. and very much connected to our breathing and connected to our diaphragm. So it is actually connected to the diaphragm through our fascial network. And so, you know, if we are very shallow breathers and we're not using the full capacity of our breath, then there's very likely that our heart's quite closed, because our chest is going to be quite restricted, and it could reflect in your whole postural way of being. So there's many ways of looking at this. When we start to look at the heart chakra and you get back to the physical, what your physical body is representing of the heart, you can soon tell, can't you, if someone's very open-hearted, you know, and walking up, you know, open-chested, breathing fully, walking purposefully, or if someone's quite withdrawn and the body language is closed. And when it's closed, there's not much opportunity to take those deep breaths, and it's like a good indication then, oh, that person's heart is heavy or hurting, or there's grief there, or there's sadness there. It'd be interesting to just keep, you know, you can tell a lot by looking at somebody's physical posture in that regard and get an idea of what they might be feeling. And this relationship between breathing and the heart is huge. You know, our breath is like the gateway, and air is the element that's associated with the heart. Each of the chakras has an element, and air is associated with the heart. So therefore, you know, with the lungs and taking in the prana and using the breath and bringing that lightness in through our breathing and bringing balance in through our breathing. It's almost like the breath being a second pump, or the diaphragm when you breathe fully is like a second pump for the heart, and it can take a load off your heart. So, you know, if you are feeling a bit heavy-hearted, you probably all experienced a time when a little bit of breath work can change that very fast, can't it? It can suddenly bring in some lightness, bring in some balance, start to restore some harmony and flow and get a rhythm back, or even get you in tune with your heart rhythm perhaps. So the breath work and the diaphragm, so closely connected to this chakra, the heart, and the element of air.
Certainly from a heart rhythm perspective, like if you sit and focus on your breathing, you will find that you can influence your heart rate. But you know, it takes a bit of kind of paying attention and effort, but it's it can be very powerful in terms of actually having some control. You have some measure of control over that. It's not entirely autonomous in the sense of you can affect it consciously. So I don't know that you could stop it if you wanted to, but maybe you can.
Well, you can really slow it down, can't you?
You can slow it right down.
Yes.
Especially if you wanted to practice this, get a metronome or something. So like a clock or a, you know, set a metronome up that has a not sort of sharp and abrasive and frightful. Using your standard metronome ding if you're a music student and from high school might cause all sorts of fearful flashbacks. But having some kind of rhythm that is external to you, and then try and pace your heart rate to that and use your breath to do it. And I find that, you know, you can actually bring your heart rate, say, to match a clock ticking. And it also matches other people, you know, particularly people you're close to, or perhaps, you know, a couple sort of sitting close together will often find their heart rate synchronized.
It's that entrainment effect for the heart. And also a few years ago at one of the Donna Fahey 5-day intensives, she did a heart exploration. And from the notes I was just looking through, she made a statement saying that the heart feeds itself before any other part of the body, which makes sense because the heart is the heart of the body. But if you think about that from our own way of being, it's like importance and of filling your own cup first. Like it is so important to fill your own cup first so that you come from a place of fullness, because when you come from a place of fullness, there is no resentment in your giving. There are no expectations or conditions on your giving. because you are content within.
You don't need anything back. So like, how is the heart going to pump blood to the body if it is not first full of blood itself?
Mm. Such a good analogy.
I like that.
And so vital that we do it. And yet, in my experience of working with women over a long period of time in coaching, it's something that they don't do. They put a lot of other things first before themselves, which leads us to being very depleted and run down and, really drained, I suppose.
So much. It'd be interesting to know how the men fare with this in terms of their inner psyche and landscape, if if it's just not talked about, because they tend to probably suppress a lot more of that, or if they are genuinely just fine. But
would be interesting.
It's because women especially are socially and culturally ingrained to prioritize others' needs first. And that, I suppose, comes from the childbearing perspective, in the sense of, for the continuation of the species, you've got to look after the kids and up to a point. Obviously, if they're very, very small, well, then, you know, you need to look after yourself so you can look after them. But after a while, you kind of shift that a little bit, and it's like, well, the youth have the day, and what value do we have for kind of that age bracket of women who are sort of still putting all those needs, all the needs of their families or work or whatever it is first, and not looking after themselves, but are now kind of moving into a point where they should be in their prime. And
yes, I think that happens a lot.
That gets neglected.
When to let go. Yes. Yeah, it definitely gets neglected.
Because of this social idea that the woman's value is in what she contributes to her family and her home and not in much else. You know, and we are trying to challenge it, I get that, but it's still, I feel, very much social pressure as well. You should have children, you raise a family, that must, even you should also have a career, do both, you know, let's slack off now. But ultimately, if it came to it, you should probably sacrifice the career for the family if you have to.
Culturally,
yes, your family should always be your core. They are your heart, right? Like, they're the people you love. But it should be because they're people you love, not because society says you should put the family first. And you shouldn't be doing it at the cost of yourself, like sort of martyring yourself to it. But I think we do.
I think we do. Excuse me. And I think we've done it for a long time. I think it's socially ingrained. And then it becomes habitual. And then it becomes a habit that you just do without really stepping back, and as we started this conversation, being the witness as to then being objective about how is my heart really feeling. And if a lot of women were honest, they'd probably say depleted, empty, not full, quite closed, and you know, unfulfilled, and perhaps confused, and there's so many moods of the heart. So I think it's vital, and you know, what we can do to begin that is just setting some rituals or coming back to some rhythms. I think we've got so out of touch with our lives by trying to fit so much in that we've lost any rhythm to our daily life. And we need a rhythm in our daily life. You know, the heart has a rhythm, and we need a rhythm. The rhythms are all around us, and I think as human beings, we're quite out of rhythm with everything around us at the moment, and it's quite chaotic.
Sort of more of a go with the flow rather than forcing your sort of to-do list and mental requirements on your life.
Yeah, can we do less? Or even if, you know, I understand there's busy periods of people's lives, but can we bring back some little daily routines that might just set you off on a clearer course for the day? You know, is there some morning routine that you could introduce that just sets a nice rhythm for the day, or an end of day routine, or a 10-minute routine somewhere in the day? Just, it's like really important to have some
I think also
habits like that.
Good to acknowledge that rhythm is not constant.
Mm.
And the earth has rhythms of seasons, of great change, of periods of stagnation, of massive growth and flowering, of then receding and pulling back. And so when you're sort of looking at, okay, what habits and routines can I put in my life, have variation in them, because that's what keeps them fresh and that's what keeps you energetic about it. And if you're just doing the same thing every day, it becomes something that you're no longer feeling into. So I would caution that, in sense of, yes, it's really good to have routines and touchstones in your sort of daily rhythm and habit, but also acknowledge that rhythm is not constant and you should always be coming back to the heart and going, what does my heart want to do right now? And if that means that today you skip that thing, you know, do something else instead. And but don't get to the point where you're skipping self-care altogether. I want, before we finish, to mention this a thing I saw recently of a anatomist, a person who studies anatomy, called Gil Headley, and he did this video quite a long time ago, but it was of the heart and how its rhythm works. And it was like, he came up with this kind of dance to explain, I think it was like a way initially of learning the chambers of the heart and the order in which blood flows through them. And so it was quite interesting. We did this whole dance. And then by the end, he got quite philosophical and he's like, what is the shape of the human heart? And actually, when you think about what it affects and how it moves through the whole body, and the entire body system is dependent on it's a cohesive whole, but he kind of came out with, you know, the shape of a human heart is you. It's not one little discrete component, you know. It's everything. It's your entire being. And when you're looking at somebody, you're looking at their heart.
That's nice, yeah.
Whatever shape they are.
It's a nice point to finish on.
Something to pay attention to. Yeah, you know, think definitely. About that when you're looking at people. You're looking at their hearts. What are you seeing? So it invites a lot more compassion.
Yeah.
And the same in the mirror.
Mm.
That might be a nice routine to set up, would be to look at yourself in the mirror and think something kind.
Yes, yeah. Start the day with that. Try it. See if it makes a difference.
Indeed. Let us know.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
We'll be back next week.
We will. Take care. Bye.
Bye.